With Jim Burris, who's in for Rose Scott for a few days, I'm Dennis O'Hare, and we spoke with Tim Echols, member of the Georgia Public Service Commission, about the construction on nuclear plant Vogtle, the latest progress reports. Well, Energy Wire reporter Christy Swartz has been following that story closely.
And Christy was actually at the plant yesterday, all the way out near Waynesboro, and she joins us here in the studio in Atlanta to talk about that and other updates on Georgia's energy sector. Christy, welcome. Good to have you here.
Hi. Thanks, Jim. I'm really thrilled to be here.
So what was that like?
It's been 2 years since I have taken a tour of the project, and the site has changed dramatically. The construction has moved forward so much that it was a lot easier for me to really visualize what's going on. They've got a full cooling tower now that's built for Unit 3, and so as I was pulling up, I could see the steam coming from the first two units, which have been producing electricity for a long time, and then it kind of sunk in that, oh, well, there's another one there that will be helping produce electricity several years from now.
Kind of describe the scope. I mean, we think of this as being big. How big is this?
I can tell you, and I even asked this question when I was there, I was seeing a lot more construction workers, and I even asked, are there more there, or is it just that I am seeing more? And I'm trying to put it into perspective, but clearly there's a lot of construction going on in Atlanta. There are a lot of apartments and condo complexes being built and things like that. And it's a lot larger than that. It would be something that would take up several city blocks. And you're seeing buildings and different types of work being done on various different levels, and again, there's cranes, there's things being shipped around, there's workers, all over the place communicating with each other, and so it's a very busy site.
Did you get any indication when you were there that they are concerned about the delays that we talked to Commissioner Echols about, and is there any sense of rushing that could be picked up? I don't know if you could tell or not. Because obviously delays are bad, but rushed construction is also bad when you're talking about a nuclear power plant.
Absolutely, Dennis, and that's a great question, and you make an interesting point, especially because Commissioner Echols and I and other reporters and a lot of other people sat through a day's worth of hearings at the Public Service Commission in which they're looking at the here and now, they're looking at the delays and getting into the basic time is money. So delays mean cost for certain aspects of the project, and especially as it relates to customers. Georgia Power, one of the things that I noticed more often was that they are increasing their messaging about safety. And one of the things that I asked the project vice president and manager was, hey, I'm seeing a lot more signs talking about safety and a safety culture, and we had a long conversation about that. And he said, when we were sitting in there, he said, I have another regulator, and that's not just the Public Service Commission, it's the federal nuclear safety regulators. And he said, while it's not that they're not worried about schedule, but it absolutely has to be done correctly and it has to be done safely. So that's a message that they are pushing more and more at the site and more publicly. And I say that to say, not that they weren't doing that before, but I think it's that they're trying to shift to that, to say, yeah, we have delays, but we're not going to rush the project.
With that in mind, then, were you surprised or not to hear Commissioner Echols say on our broadcast just a few moments ago that he doesn't really think that Georgia Power can promise, as they did during the hearing this week, that there won't be any more delays?
Yeah, I think it's a very slippery slope, and I was thinking about that this morning as I was kind of preparing to come in here. To be very, very frank, I think that's like asking them to have a crystal ball. They say that they're working with the contractors. I would have no doubt, and I would have no doubt that...
Well, they've had some lawsuits with contractors already.
Yes, and there's a lot of unknowns with that, just because a lot of things are not as transparent there. When you get into legal issues, there's just things that we're just not going to know. And that that protracted schedule that you all discussed, the integrated schedule, I remember going back through my notes today to make sure that I was correct. That is several thousand pages long. And so that's something that the regulators have seen and other people have seen. I have not seen it, so I can't say for certain how much wiggle room they've put in there. But I think it boils down to there might be some things that you just don't know what you don't know. So while everyone's trying to meet a certain schedule for safety reasons, for time is money reasons and all of that, you know, I don't know how much wiggle room is built in there.
Put you on the spot here a little bit, then why do you think that Georgia Power keeps making these promises?
You know, there are a lot of people looking at Georgia Power right now. The investors, various different agencies of the federal government, including the ones that agreed to give them the loan guarantees, including the federal safety regulators. There are environmentalists looking at them. There are state regulators looking at them. There are customers looking at them. And they were very confident with the backing of their parent company that they could be first out of the gate to do this. They're a very large utility. They're very experienced in building power plants, are very experienced in doing nuclear. They have a very strong balance sheet. So I think with all of that, they're very confident that they can do it. And they're at the point now that they're going to have to follow through. I don't think that they would do it any other way. There's a lot that's riding on this, from the basics of producing electricity, from a financial standpoint, and from the fact that, again, this was supposed to kickstart other nuclear plants being built across the nation. And so that's why everybody's looking at them. So at this point, they've got to go ahead.
So let's step back then and start looking at us, customers, the ratepayers. What do these delays mean to the average ratepayer?
There's two different answers to that. One, the contract that Georgia Power has with their contractors, the onus is on the contractors to get things done in certain ways. And if there are delays, the contractor pays for that in terms of extra labor on their part and redoing something if it's not meeting a safety standard or whatever. But Georgia Power also has their own workers and staff on site, and we also are paying for financing cost. And so the longer that things go, yes, there are payments that are tied to that either are in our rates now or will end up later.
And the ironic thing is that at last week's Southern Company shareholders meeting, WABE's Molly Samuel noted the plant didn't even really come up much. And I presume you were watching or there yourself. So what could that mean, if anything?
I was sitting in the room, yes, and that is one of two big projects that Southern Company, with its utilities, is working on.
Quickly to clarify, Southern Company is the parent firm of Georgia Power.
Yeah, sorry. There was a lot of focus on other new technologies and new forms of energy that Southern Company and its utilities either are looking at or getting into. And there was a lot of focus on things related to curbing carbon emissions, being more environmentally friendly, and things of that. I can't speak for what the company's strategy was for why they chose to not talk about it as much. That being said, it's kind of a hot button issue right now, and I think that they are looking more at spinning things forward, which is why they talked more about, again, the new research and development that they're doing with other forms of electricity.
And speaking of other forms, Commissioner Eccles tied Plant Vogtle, and what he says is the need to complete Plant Vogtle, to Georgia's compliance with the EPA's new clean power regulations for coal-fired plants. Is Southern Company doing the same thing? Are they even talking about the EPA's clean power plan, because obviously it affects their plants?
I can imagine that they're talking about it daily and probably have been even before that the rule came out. Nuclear is going to be a large component of that because it's emission-free. And again, I think getting the plant right and getting it done on schedule is going to be critical to some of that. To the company's credit, they've made a gigantic transformation used to get 70% of their electricity from coal, and now it's getting down to 30%. Again, when you're getting into tying it into the clean power plan, it gets more complicated than that in terms of more that they're going to have to do, that all utilities are going to have to do to help the states meet those requirements. But yes, by all means, I'm sure they have a team of hundreds of people that are talking to air regulators and others on a daily basis.
But they seem, you would imagine, they, as the commissioner is, are tying completion of Vogtle to compliance with the EPA rules. They're saying, without Vogtle, we can't do it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's going to be a huge part of it. Numbers wise, I'm not really sure, but in terms of getting toward kind of the interim goal under the proposed rule and then the final one, yes, absolutely.
Switching gears a little bit, you wrote in March that Tom Fanning, the CEO of Southern Company, wants to open an energy innovation center. What would that look like, and kind of what would that mean for the future of energy consumption here in the South?
I think that's their way of really making sure that there's new products and services that are going to provide new means of revenue for them and keep them connected with customers with different types of energy technology now that we're seeing the most accessible being solar. Also, you've got the Nest thermostat, you've got electric cars. It's a way to keep customers more in control of their own energy use, and that's very different from a traditional utilities business model. So while utilities are still trying to maintain that we're providing electrical service for you 24/7, they're realizing again that customers are finding new ways to kind of keep better control of their electricity use. So this Energy Innovation Center, again, is going to be an extension of a lot of their research and development efforts. But again, it's going to be more ways to provide more revenue for them, more products and services for customers, and then that's going to keep them hooked. And the best, most successful way I can think about that and have other people think about that is like having a telecom company and getting into like the triple play. So you have them for internet and you have them for cable and you have them for your cell phone and your landline and all of that. So they're coming up with ways of having the triple play and even expanding on that.
One other quick one. We asked Tim Echols about the electric vehicle tax break, which expires this month. WABE commentator Maria Saporta said in April, she said, that'll mean the end of Georgia's leading edge in the electric vehicle market. Commissioner said, well, we'll see sales drop off, but he wasn't so sure that it would be as much as ending Georgia's leading edge. Is there a sense yet, either that you have or that anybody else in the field has, that the tax credit will just mean things will dry up?
I think a lot of times tax credits, you know, are needed to encourage use of new technologies. I also think that there are going to be people who are going to want to invest in an electric vehicle just because they want to for some reason or another. Will it dramatically drop off? I mean, it could, but if there are other things that are bringing the cost down and there are other people that are wanting to buy those cars, that it might not be a dramatic drop off.
Of course, a lot of it will depend on the price of gas.
Absolutely.
Energy Wire reporter Christy Swartz talking about cost overruns at Plant Vogtle as well as her tour, which sounds pretty interesting. Thanks so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine. Thanks.